Psalm 63 this morning. Hope everything in your household is well.
Amen.
Psalm 63. God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a day of dry, thirsty land where no water is.
To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary.
Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee.
Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name.
My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips.
When I remember thee upon my bed, meditate on thee in the night watches.
Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice.
My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me.
But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth.
They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes.
But the king shall rejoice in God, everyone that sweareth by himself glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
God.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, and through many dangers, toils, and snares, grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Yes, praise God, 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 praise God.
Amen.
Amen. How many's ready for the word today? Amen. Let's sing this. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us go in this world.
Rechargeable batteries. Don't like them. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, and say, God bless you. Good to have all of you here today. Just real snowy and windy and warm weather. And I told Brother Manuel and Sister Emma, I said, this ain't, I know y'all not used to it being from. So, and they're saying we might get some next weekend. So we'll see. But it's okay. We made it. Everybody's good. Good to see your smiling faces. Brother Luis didn't get to go to Brother Gene Williams, so good to have him here today. And we always miss you when you're gone. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to Malachi 3. A couple of announcements. Wednesday night, Brother Aaron will be speaking for us. And it's scheduled, the communion and foot washing will be next Sunday. Because I really didn't think there'd be this many people here today. But we'll have it next Sunday. Remember the Sweethearts Banquet downstairs on the refrigerator. Sign up if you're going. If you're bringing somebody, sign them up also. And the deadline is February the 10th. All right, so 10 days from today, February the 10th. The banquet will be on the 21st. All right, and on the 22nd, Brother Eric Gaio will be here preaching for us. The Ohio group will be here. We'll probably get together after church on Sunday. We should have plenty of food left over from the banquet. We usually do, and we will have a feast and fellowship with them here at the church. Keep you from going to a restaurant or having to go to a home. We'll just do that here. So you already be here, so. We'll do that. Downstairs on the middle table, close to where the kitchen is, I got some books that I had for years and years and years, and they're random books. Downstairs, just go look and see if there's something you'd profit sent from South Africa and all different kind of books down there that if you want to have them, take them with you. Some of them are marked up, but that's okay. Maybe you'll read what I underlined. In 1970-something, I think it was, or 74. So you may have those. We enjoy our books, but those are all duplicates. They've been in a box for a long time. So, and there's a do not take home the what was that one that Angel Smith did? Inspiration or what was it? generations. There's a book down there. We have a book, but there's a book down there. Don't take it. If you want to take it home and read it, that's fine, but bring it back. That's the church copy to leave here in case somebody else would like to look at it. And it is downstairs also. Good to have our visitor with us this morning, sitting in the back there. Her mom's been here before, so God bless you. Good to have you with us. And just worship the Lord in spirit and truth, and we'll be just fine. But y'all, pretty much all the announcements. So Malachi 3, verse 1. This is going to start, and if you'll remember, Brother Branham preached, like in December, he preached, "Sirs, is this the time?" Right. All right? He was, and don't get me wrong, but he was looking at something that he really couldn't see. Right. Come on. Right. "Sirs, is this the time?" He's asking a question. Is it time for this? Is it time for that? Is it time for this? Well, we know that it was time for the seals to open. They just hadn't opened in March. And then all the things that had to happen with the cloud and all that together, he said, "Sirs, what time is it?" Well, today this is going to be my "Sirs, what time is it?" before we begin the seals, and it's called preparing a people. Because if you don't prepare a people, I mean, if you prepared for, you prepare for everything you do, you prepare for work, school, home, life, kids, family, you always prepare something. Amen. All right, so we are, Brother Branham, he was preaching that sermon, and he didn't really know how it was going to work out. After the seals broke, he did. So then when the seals broke, that was a group of people he was preaching to that didn't get what he said. Right. Come on, I'll read the quote again over and over again. And that to me, that's important because that is a generational message. Yeah. The seals is a generational message because it cannot open to you until you see them. Right. So you got to have the right place, the right time. Brother Brown said everything's got to be in order. Remember talking about the acts of a play? Yeah. Remember he went in to pray for that little girl or that little baby, and the vision he had was that there was a hat on the stove or TV or something. Somebody's hat was laying there. He said, until somebody laid that hat there, he said, that vision is not full. He said, I can go in and pray for him. He said, but it'll do no good until that hat. And remember what happened. Somebody came in the door and was visiting them and put, well, when he laid that hat on there, see, that sealed that vision that he had seen before. And when it sealed that vision, what happened? There was a result after he saw that the vision was fulfilled. Well, see, he didn't get to see mine and your face, but you and I are the vision, the finishing up of the vision that he saw of people taking a body change and a rapture. Okay? Now, see, Paul saw, but he saw through a glass. He said, "We which are alive and remain." He didn't exactly explain a whole lot. He just told us the order in which it was going to be. But Brother Branham comes, and he fills in the gaps, and then he goes off the scene, and then it takes a fivefold ministry to bring us to a place, to a body change. Amen. All right, rapture and faith, Brother Branham said, lies in these books and tapes, in, not on. Right. You can read them every day of your life and die and go to hell. Yes. You can say, I'm in the message every day of your life and die and go to hell. Right. But if you get the new birth, you'll come to this message. And then, see, then it's up to you because, real quick, seals are not for your soul redemption. Right. Amen. Is everybody with me? Amen. The seals. It's because, remember, the seals were closed, but people were saved before in Peter's day. Amen. Were filled with the Holy Ghost, the new birth in their soul. So that's not what we're talking about. Now listen, it's inclusive. But it's not exclusive. It's inclusive to what we're talking about now. All right, everybody with me? It's inclusive to your new birth. You get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then the Word opens up that's never been opened up before. Light shined on things that's never been shined on before. That's what the Brother Branham said. And then we as are a recipient of that are not supposed to close the book. We're supposed to keep it open because John ate an open book. He didn't eat a closed book. Right. And then he prophesied. Yes. So you and I have to do the same identical thing. So we have to prepare. You know, some of you kids have graduated high school. Well, you had to prepare for that, but now you're graduated, you're preparing for college. Different subject, higher order, but it's the same learning. You got grades, test, going to school, doing your work. That's what you did in first grade. That's what you did in kindergarten. It's just a higher form of what you did when you were in kindergarten or the first grade. All right, so that's what we're up to now, folks. I don't think we can. We're going over and over this again, but I think there's a time where somebody's going to say, "I get it," and going to graduate. Our graduation is the change of the body. Our graduation is not getting born again. Now that's in your soul, yes, but your body. We're going to talk about it Sunday about the mystery of iniquity. You are standing here today a product of iniquity. Amen. I'm looking at it. But by the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, I see somebody that's redeemed. That the mystery of iniquity does not work. Because the Bible says it works in the children of what? Disobedience. See, that's why we've got to still be obedient children. I was listening to or watching the sermon that you gave me, part two on the seals. Man, you think I'm rough. Oh, my. And I know Christine knows that because she's went through and got up to the sixth seal with putting it in a book form. So don't rush. We'll see what we can do about getting. But you read that and you go, man, who's he talking to? Well, see, that was 1982. So a lot of those people are already gone. Some of you weren't even born. Some of us were young. Some of us were out in the world. Some of us were doing our own thing. Well, today, we're sitting here today, or standing here today, a product of this message. Okay? A product of this message. So the seals is not how to be redeemed in your soul. That's happened to millions and millions and millions and millions of people. That's called the bride. That's right. Okay? Right. What we're going to be talking about is to get into that second realm of man. The memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. Don't worry about, listen, don't ever try to get your flesh changed. Yeah. They do that with plastic surgery. And you keep doing it, you look worse than you did if you'd have just stayed where you're at. I know y'all don't do it, but you look at the people in the world, you know, it looks like they're in their 90. But unless there's a change on the inside. Yeah, I ain't talking about that, brother boy. I ain't going where the lips are, little things. Looks like stinking fish. But why do they do that? Because the spirit inside of them tells them they want to be younger. Well, listen, folks, there's a Holy Spirit inside of you that wants to be younger. Amen. That is younger, but he wants you to catch up. That's right. So if we don't understand the mystery of iniquity, then that's where you go to, because you are a product of iniquity, born in sin, shaping iniquity, come from your mother's womb, a liar. And Brother Brown said, tacked onto it, he said, bound and on your way to hell. Okay? So we're not talking that person that is born again in your soul today. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you're a bride, then the seals like I said, it's inclusive, but it's exclusive. Okay? It's inclusive by your new birth, but exclusive that God's going to take these virtues and change us into his image in our spirit realm. Everybody with me? Okay? Let me just be frank. Real quick. Now, husband and wife, they get together and have a child, right? Right. Now, your soul didn't do that. If you're born again, your soul is eternal. It never did that in the day of its life. But you're living as a product of iniquity, so your memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination is telling your body to do what it needs to do. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? Because your soul never did have relations as a human being. If you're born again, all right? That's why I truly believe your soul is in another dimension. It's faster, but it's still inside of you. It's not something like people tell us in the message that you go to your theophany. No, sir, there's not something hanging up there in a closet waiting for you to step into it, and then it just comes to life. No, Brother Brown said, your new birth, that is where your theophany is. Amen. It's inside of you today. Yes. It's your soul. Amen. So if your soul is born again, that's good, but we are a product of iniquity, and that is the hideous sin that we live under, the curse. Okay? So now if we can get our memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination turned around, it'll turn our body around. Amen. It'll make us younger. Amen. It'll bring that soul to the forefront. Why I told you to read Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. Brother Brown speaks of preeminence, preeminence, preeminence. You know what preeminence is? You know what eminence is? Eminence is what you like. Right. Your eminence. That's something right here. That's something that's in your life. Preeminence is you're letting somebody have preeminence over you, which is Jesus Christ. And we fail miserably. We all do. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. But that's what the seals come for, is to redeem our body. So everybody with me? So let's read Malachi 3, verse 1. Sorry to keep you standing. So let's pray just for a second. Lord, thank you so much for bringing the ones that are here, Lord. I pray that you'd bless the ones that are watching in. Father, I know some of the roads are pretty terrible in the back roads. But, Lord, thank you for giving us a group here today, Lord, that came on anyway, Father. And I appreciate all of them. Lord, I appreciate you that letting us get here, Father. And I pray now that you'd be with us in a way, Lord, that you've never been before. That you'll open the words of eternal life to each one of us, Lord, as I prayed a few minutes ago. Lord, let me see something today. And may each one pray and say, Lord, let me see something today. And Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes. Bless the ones that are sick, Father, Mom and Brother Tim Calhoun there, Lord. Brother Gabriel called yesterday. They're worried, had a broken vertebra and he couldn't feel his arms and legs. Well, this morning he could be able to feel them now. So we know that the healing virtue of you in his body is helping him, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that you'd raise him up completely, Father. Let him go home, Lord, and Lord, that, let that vertebrae go back together and he not have any issues with it, Father, because you're the healer. You're the one that we depend on 100%. Lord, just bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm not going to read Malachi 4 yet. Malachi 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. You may be seated. We know who is that talking about. That's talking about John the Baptist. All right, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way. He was the one to come to introduce the headstone, Jesus Christ in human flesh. Amen? God in human flesh, called Jesus Christ. So he had to prepare. How did he prepare? How did John the Baptist prepare? He told it like it was. He said, you generation of vipers, you people are doing wrong. You're doing this, you're doing that. They hated John so bad, especially when he got on his marriage and divorce sermon. Right. That's where most people hate you anyway. Yeah. It's when you get on that marriage and divorce sermon, because nobody likes that. Well, I mean, the real bride does. Right. Amen? Because, listen, we're all under that curse. We're all married to something. That's why I said the mystery of iniquity. You're married to the devil. Amen. Come on. That's what Brother Brown said. We were born between Satan and Eve. That makes you pretty much the devil incarnate. That's right. Okay? But we're heading toward God incarnate. But it takes a process. It takes a preparation. It takes a time. All of us are getting ready to take a trip, maybe, or getting ready to go somewhere, even to go to town. What do? We prepare. We don't just jump in a car and you know, throw a couple of socks and some underwear and two shirts and we're going to Canada for 3 weeks. No. No, Canada's come here, actually. Christine and them brought it back with them. Send it back. You don't go back, but you can send it back. But you prepare a lot more because you know the place you're going. Now, this is my point. We know where we're going. We're going to a body change. We're either going to a grave or we're going to a body change. So that's the two things as we are. We're not heading toward a flowery bed of ease. We're not heading toward everything's going to get better. We're not heading toward that. We're heading toward a time that nobody's seen on the face of the earth. And there has to be some group, like a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. How do you perfect? How do you perfect? You prepare. We prepare sermons. We discuss back and forth. What are we doing? We're preparing each other for what's to come. Okay? We prepare. Listen, bread, milk, gasoline. All of you went to the store for some silly reason and bought milk, eggs, groceries, and some. Made sure all your cars was full of gas. Why? You were preparing for a storm coming. And as I sent that little thing on WhatsApp the other day, you know, people just bombard the Weather Channel to find out what the weather's like, and they won't even look online and see what Jesus Christ is like. They won't look. They won't look in a message of the hour and see what he's like. I mean, I did too. I kept up with the Weather Channel because I had to get out in it, but I prepared, and that's what we've got to do. Brother Branham was. Brother Brown was preparing for a people that wasn't even there. Come on. Don't get snowed in on me. We're here. Let's have some fun. What he was preaching in the seals was not for anyone in that room at that time except him. All right? But he preached it anyway, and then, like I said, on the questions and answers on the seals, he said, you're not getting it. It's not for you. He said, it's gone from you. Now, what is this anointing has left. Right. Now, it didn't mean, Brother Aaron, that he didn't have prayer lines again. It didn't mean that he didn't quit preaching. It didn't mean that he didn't. He meant that anointing for that message was gone. Because there was not a group of receiving people that was prepared. Listen. And I'm not degrading anybody that was in Brother Brown's meetings, but they were prepared by denominations to come to his church. Right. All right? Because you had Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost. And that's what he was sent to do. He was sent to come out of her, my people, to bring a group out. Right. And in bringing a group out, he did bring a group that some did catch the real message and started preaching. And that's where you got Spoken Word Church. That's where you got Life Tabernacle, not Life Tabernacle, but Word of Life Tabernacle. And that's where you've got Bethel Tabernacle. That's where you get all these message churches around the country, is from where Brother Branham would come, hold a meeting, someone would catch that there's something different about this guy, and they would start a church. That's how we got message churches. Everybody with me? We got so many now, they got all many different ideas. They're just splitting like cordwood over nothing. But that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that way. Because some people can take it, some people can't. I'm sorry. Some people can take it, some people can't take it. The furtherment of the word, and that don't de-Christianize, that don't make them not bride. That just means that they have let that mystery of iniquity take over in their spirit realm. Come on, somebody. In that spirit realm, and has stopped them by some little what? Memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. Right. You hurt my feelings. I don't like what you did. Now, Brother Brown never said, did you feel it? Right. He said, did you believe it? Right. Me and Brother Darrell Ward was talking the other day, and I don't know if he'll hear this or see this or not, but I kind of got on to some pastor friends of mine, and I believe this 100%, folks. We can go to special meetings, and I like to go to special meetings, but I didn't go to hear a pastor preach. There's four more folds of that. See, you go to a meeting now, it's the same five people, and three of them are pastors. I don't agree with that. You got a flock. Listen, you go wherever you want to go because the Holy Ghost is going to tell you where it's true or not. You understand? I'm not saying don't leave these walls, but I'm telling you that Brother Brown said your pastor's going to lead you through. If we would start doing the work we should do in our own congregations, we wouldn't have to have them go somewhere else to be prayed for. I'm sorry. You can agree with him if you want to. Pastors don't are not evangelists. Pastors lead, they smell like sheep, they act like the sheep, and they're with the sheep. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. But it's just become a show. I'm sorry. Right. I told Brother Darrell that. I said, he said, you're right. He said, there's two factions in the message. 80% of the people, listen, 80% of the people in the message want signs, wonders, emotion, prayer lines. If the preacher can cry or if he can tickle your senses. And then there's 20% that wants to lead people on that signs follow them, not get in front of them. Because a wicked and adulterous generation, read the Bible, seeks after a sign. A wicked and iniquity seeks after a sign. And listen, I believe in emotion. You know we do. We praise the Lord more now than we ever have, and I appreciate that. You raise your hand, you say hallelujah, you say amen. And we worship more, I believe, than we did before. Amen. It's not because I don't want it to be a ritual. Right. I want it to be something that the Spirit can move and flow. But the devil does that himself. Yeah. He's a worship angel. Come on. He's a worship angel. He worshiped the best of anybody ever because God said he did. He said, I made you perfect. Come on, God said, I made you perfect, devil. Yeah. Satan, Lucifer, son of the morning, the great worship angel. I believe in worship. But what are you worshiping about? You've got to have something that when you go home in your prayer closet or in your time alone with God, that God can speak to you without having to have a song. Right. Listen, I believe songs. The Bible tells us that David sang songs, and the evil spirit left Saul. Some of us might want to try that more often, but boy, praise the Lord anyway. Say amen. Go ahead. But don't depend on that. Amen. Don't depend on that. That's right. Jesus Christ got up every day and was Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay? He spoke to the Father. The Father spoke to him. And there are instances where he said, let's go aside and pray. But not every day. He walked as a human being. So do we. I don't want us to depend that when we come here, that this is the only time we hear from God. That's right. You haven't been prepared well then. Amen. It's an individual affair. Like the brother said before, it's individually. We need a herder. We need a pastor. We need fivefold ministry. But you got to have something with God yourself. That's right. So these seals have got to be open to you. They got to be open to me. It's got to be something special, not coming from a special person. But you are special because you open yourself up for the word of God to come inside. Open up the womb of your heart. And let God come in. That's where the real marriage ceremony is. That's where the real planting of the seed is, because the seed is a word. Yeah. The words you hear. Amen. Now remember, Satan's got a seed too. Yeah. Amen. Come on, Satan's got a seed too. So you have to be careful which one you're open to. Matthew 3, verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare. Make his path straight. My teeth got readjusted the other day. I'm having a hard time bargaining. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I'm 66 now, okay? So at least I have some. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. What did John the Baptist do? He introduced the Messiah. Right. Amen? Right. Now, if he prepared a people to introduce the Messiah to, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, that was Elijah number what? 3. Yeah. So if Elijah number 3 was a preparer, Elijah number 4 is going to be a preparer, because God gave us a sign that the angel came down at the river and said, your message will forerun the second coming of Christ. So that was his commission, to get a people ready. Yeah. Right. Everybody with me? Yeah. Mark 1, verse 2, as is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Very, very prominent scripture that tells you that's not Brother Branham. Amen. That's John the Baptist. Okay, voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Amen. How many miracles did this man do called John the Baptist that Jesus Christ said, greatest man ever wore shoe leather? No greater prophet than John the Baptist. No, you know what he done? He stomped out of the wilderness. He stood at the water and he said, you bunch of vipers, prepare. He's here. He's come. There he is. Prepare ye for the Messiah to come. That's what Brother Branham was saying. Prepare ye the Messiah to come. But listen, this Messiah coming is different. Everybody with me? This Messiah coming is different. It's not him coming in human flesh. It's him coming in your flesh. Amen. Now, that's the way he wants it done. That's not the way I want it done. That's the way he wanted it done. That's right. Everybody with me? Amen. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Then here, Brother Branham stands on the first seal. We'll read it next Sunday or maybe later, where he says, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, and there goes a wild horse rider. Well, he's showing the position that... You may not think that quote's very powerful, but I believe it is. When a prophet speaks and says, here stands the Lamb. Amen. With a book in his hand, he's talking about Jesus Christ in his flesh speaking these seals and them opening, because remember, Jesus Christ is the only one that can open them because he's already preached them. Amen. I read that in Matthew 24. He already preached the seals. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now remember, he comes in human flesh. He goes away. All right? He goes back to the Father. Right? Amen? He goes back to the Father. And he's going, I go to prepare a place for you. What is that place he's preparing? The baptism of the Holy Ghost is what he was preparing, because there is no mansion except you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Remember, Brother Ryan said, it's not mansion sitting over here. It's a dominion or a domain. And you know what? You and I are part of it. Right. All right? Amen. So he was preparing a place for us. Where is that place? It's in the Bible, and it's in the prophet's message. Listen, the reason God sent us a prophet, how in the world, every time he sent a prophet means that somebody was having a hard time understanding Scripture or the previous prophet, so he sends another one. Think about that, okay? Because remember, from Malachi to John the Baptist was 400 years. They did pretty much whatever they wanted to do. Okay? Then we look and see that Paul was a prophet. We know these were minor prophets, but Brother Branham wasn't a minor prophet. Right. He was a major prophet with a major thing to do. Two things to do is to what? Show us that mystery of iniquity in our soul first. Amen. Come on, somebody. Right. He came here to bring the new birth back the way it should have been. Not signs and wonders, not speaking in tongues. Water baptism doesn't make you perfect. Right. That's what Brother Branham taught. The loose ends, he brought the loose ends back. Then when he brought the loose ends back, what happened? God could drop down and preach the perfect message that Brother Branham was sent to preach. But he had to get all those scruples. Listen, we got to get all our scruples out of the way. Right. We got to start being believers. Amen. Believe what's going on. This is the day that Grandma talked about. One day, this is the day. This day. 1 Corinthians 14:7. And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in sounds. How shall it be known what is piped and harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? The reason that the trumpet sounded, shout, voice, trump, the reason the trumpet sounded in the end time was to tell us where God was. He's in his people. And God sent us a prophet to show us that and show us how to get there, because any other denomination, go to them. The Baptists say, well, once saved, always saved. Shake my hand. And that's the truth. They believe that. I mean, if you're 10, 11 years old and you go up there and you say, I want to give my heart to the Lord, that's great and wonderful. But you don't darken the doors till they bury you, ever how many years later. And you're as much a Christian as you ever have been. And you didn't never darken the door of a church and smoke, drink, cuss, and everything else. I know that because I know those people. And my dad knew them, Methodist. But why? That's what I told that cousin of mine. I said, somebody told you you could cut your hair. Somebody told you could wear pants. She's a woman. Somebody told you that. God didn't tell you that. Some person told you that. Where's the greatest mystery of iniquity? Is standing in this pulpit across the country preaching false doctrine. But praise the Lord, somewhere we got to have the truth. You got to believe the truth. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? How in the world are you going to listen to that and know where to go? Right. Unless you've heard the right sound. Because one is retreat, one is charge, one is moved to the left, one is moved to the right. That's the way you communicated back then in the battlefield. That was why you could throw that sound out there and they would know what to do. All right? Charge, retreat, and all that. Well, that's the same way with us. What is a trumpet? The trumpet is the voice of God that's speaking to us. Amen? Amen? Right. And if it gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? That's the whole problem. There's been uncertain sound all across the country. Yeah. Everybody with me? So likewise, ye, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. In other words, if you don't give a certain sound and people listen to that certain sound, take that certain sound to heart and prepare theirself for that battle. Yes. Amen. Everybody with me? For that battle, not for a battle coming up or the battle before, but for that battle. Why would you sound retreat for a battle you had before? No, it's for the battle you're in right now. Amen. That's why preachers will tell you, if you got a problem, go to the Bible, read, study, and pray. Get that certain sound and let that sound be something you can comprehend. Simple. Simple. You know, when you start out in the fourth or fifth grade or somewhere in there, and you, I don't know when they start doing algebra and calculus. We didn't start doing it until the ninth grade, but I think they're doing it a lot earlier now. But they're not requiring you to have college courses, but they're what? They want you to finish the courses in front of you. Because that's a building block or a plan to prepare you when you get to college and they start saying things that are uncertain when you were this age. Now you've went through the process and now you've come to a place you say, I understand that. Yes. And I know people have a hard time with math. I didn't. It just came so simple to me. Amen. I mean, just it's a process. Amen. Do y'all know if, I don't care if you're in the billions and trillions, there's only what? 10 numbers. Zero is a number. Amen. Okay? You want $100 today or $1? Them two zeros are important. Amen. But there's only 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's all there is. Amen. There's 10 of those. 10 numbers. For everything, that's all that was the basis for Albert Einstein to do all his theory of relativity and do everything he did. It was from those 10 numbers. Okay? What are you saying, Brother Wade? The message you hear, the message you heard, it should it to you if you'll study, it'll be simple. There's no possible way you can come in here on Sunday for an hour, hour and a half, and listen to me or whoever it is preaching and get 100% of what's going on. Go back and study. Have we become so complacent that we're not wanting a body change? You wait till you get 66 or 76, or we got some over the 80s. You ask them. They would love to take a body change right at this moment. Amen. Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Remember Brother Branham said, he said, Jesus Christ's body was built by the Old Testament prophets. Right. Now listen, we know for a fact they didn't build the egg and the germ. That was created of God. Okay, I'm going to slow down a little bit. We may be a little lengthy today, but you got here, so it's not going to freeze until, well, it's not going to freeze until it gets dark, Brother Dan. 6 o'clock, it'll be all right. But let's prepare ourselves, okay? Prepare yourself for what's coming. Prepare yourself, listen, for what's now, okay? Let's prepare ourselves for that. Get ready for it. But a body thou hast prepared me. So the Old Testament saints, Brother Brown said, built a body. Now, how'd they do that? They had nothing to do with the flesh. Because this has a twofold meaning. Most scriptures do have a twofold meaning, right? Brother Brown told us that. So a body hast thou prepared me. Jesus Christ had to have a body prepared. All the Old Testament saints prophesied. There's one coming. There's one coming. This is what he's going to be. He's got his fan in his hand. He's going to do this. He's going to smite the nations. He's going to do this, right?
Right.
And then there he was. Everything the scripture said about him was true. But a group of people hated him for it. A group of people hated to hear the message when he come to that point. Because Brother Ram tells us, he says, when the bride begins to say, I and my father are one, he said, the shuck will pull away. What is the shuck? It was a protector. It had its part, but now it is dead. Every shuck I've seen, when it was ready for the corn to be, I'm talking about for seed now, not for the corn you buy at the store. For seed, it's got to be completely dry. Up in Illinois and Kentucky, they have a, like a meter that they use. They'll break off the corn kernels, and if it ain't 100% dry, 99% dry, if they harvest that and put it in that big old bin, what's it going to do? Spoil, rot, right? So it's got to be dead, got to be completely dead, and that old shuck, it just hangs like this. Yeah. Kind of like some of us. We just kind of hang on like this, but we're dead as a doornail.
Right.
We might rattle and make some noise every time a special service comes. But the shuck's not the grain. The grain is the headstone. That is us.
Amen.
Right. Now let me ask you a question. If God prepared before the foundation of the world a group of people to take a body change, can he ever make a mistake? Can he ever lie? Can he ever take back his plan and start a new one? So what he started with, Brother Ryan, that's what he's going to end with. Okay? And remember, our end is just the beginning. Praise the Lord. Some people's end is the end. They'll just go away one day and never even be thought of ever again. Great people that run the country and all these different things, if they're not born again, one day they'll just totally go away and we'll never remember them again. Wow. So that means your soul's worth more than what? 10,000 worlds. So if your soul today is energized by the Holy Ghost and you're born again, God has done the same thing. He's prepared your body to receive him. Because you are the body of Christ. Right? So he's prepared Listen, if Jesus did it in his first coming, isn't he going, hold on a minute, can God change?
No.
Okay, so if he did it one time, he's going to do it again.
Amen.
This time, though, he decided, now this is him, he decided to do it in your flesh, not his. Because he wanted a group of people to believe him and become his children by a new birth, not by a first birth. We're all a product of the devil by our first birth. I don't care if your mom and daddy's born again today. That act was not approved of God. That's not the way you were supposed to get here. But listen, now that we know that we've been born again, what are you going to do about it? It's laid in your lap now. A body thou hast prepared me. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, but it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. In other words, even the innermost or inmost depths of God's being. Prophet of God told us, he said, today we're going back in the back part of God's mind. We're entering into the mind of God. And I'm going to tell you why he did the things he did. And he said, I'm going to also tell you why the things I did.
Yeah. Right.
All God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ was, he poured into church. Take her back to the Garden of Eden. That's where we're going, right?
Amen.
There's your three stages again, just like we were talking about. Revelation 21:1. Let me get some of these scriptures out of the way. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth will pass away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, the word prepare means turn toward, make clear, clear away, empty, equip, and train. As you would prepare for war. You and I are now preparing for a spiritual war. The word prepared means is to make ready. Be ready for a trip. I like that one. I got it underlined. Be ready for a trip. It means prepared for your future and your children, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? Make ready, be prepared for a trip.
Right.
1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up your loins. Be sober. This is your prepared thing. This is what you got to prepare for. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now listen, as Jesus Christ is being revealed, who is being revealed? You and I are.
Right.
Okay? That's why Brother Branham preached Christ is a mystery of God revealed. Christ! He said, it's Christ in you that's being revealed. What happened on the seals, Brother Branham stood there and revealed what had not been looked on or what had not been preached ever except when Jesus was on earth. And he preached it in such a way till nobody understood it. Listen, I make mistakes. Brother Aaron makes mistakes. Brother Lewis makes mistakes. God does not make one. When he preached those seals, he preached them the way he wanted them preached. But who could understand it? No one understood it. They never understood who he was, and he was the seventh seal. He was the headstone to the church. He come to get his church, but his church went whoring. Sorry, bad word, but that's what they did. They took on a different lover. They took on the things of the world. They took on a denomination. They took on an idea. They took on a tradition. But you and I don't take on tradition. You and I take the very body word.
Amen.
Of the Son of Man, as Brother Brown said, the very body word. When we're eating, we're growing.
Yes.
Right. Matthew 22:2, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. That's the people that we get up here and we cry and sigh and we pray for, we preach to, and they leave. Yeah. I believe I'll just preach a little bit today. Right. But they made light of it. Amen. You get up here and preach your heart out, and people just act like it doesn't bother them. Get ready. I've prepared a feast for you to eat. My oxen, fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. Yeah. What happened? The mystery of iniquity was so strong, they couldn't see past their tradition. They couldn't see past their denomination. And I want you to get something straight here real quick. I am not against, like Brother Rams, I'm not against those people. But now there's got to come a time where that people and that message is one. I'm not going to partake of that message that the denominations feed their people. But if they accept it, we're trying to get them out. We're trying to preach to them and, you know, to get out of that. Come out of that junk. Amen? We tell them about Jesus Christ. Get them out of the junk that they're in. But they'll tell you three or four different ways. Well, I was baptized. Well, I shook a hand. I got a letter in a Baptist church. I got sprinkled. Is that not true? And listen, that's all devil. I'm sorry. They may be the best people that walk on the face of the earth as far as being a person. But if you're not born again, you're a devil. You are possessed by those demons that came out of the river Euphrates, and you can't get them off of you unless you want them off. Right. What did Brother Branham say? He said, that woman got that. They said, Brother Branham, that woman's doing the same thing she was doing before. He said, that woman loved that spirit. Yeah, right. He said, I cast it off of her, and he said, she invited it right back in. Amen. That's why in the book of Luke, the Luke says what? The unclean spirit goes out of a person?
Amen.
Out of a person? Walks in dry places. If you don't seal it back up, what's he going to do? He's going to come back and bring a group with him. Yes. And he's going to enter in, and the state of that person is worse than it ever has been before.
Amen.
Sirs, is this the time for us to get the right message? I don't mean the right message. You understand what I'm saying? Get the right message to the people. I think every Sunday ought to be a special meeting. I think every Wednesday ought to be a special meeting. I think that you need to get supercharged in your own church. Now listen, I'm telling you one more time. I go to special meetings. Y'all know I do. I love my brothers out there. And you can go too. It never bothered me one bit. None. Zero. Zilch. But are you taking something to them, or are you bringing something back they had? Thank you. I believe it will. But that's the truth, people, that demons are running around everywhere. I've seen a few in the past few days. When you close your eyes and see something coming at you, this black, with your eyes closed, and know where it come from. Yeah. You scare you to death unless you know who you are and what you're doing. You know what I did? I opened my eyes. It went away. I saw light. You said, boy, that's real. No, that ain't supernatural at all. That's just being human being. Open your eyes. Literally, I was asleep, and there was something coming at me, Brother Danny, just a big old black ball. And I opened my eyes, and then I had another dream not too long ago, and there was many of them coming. But all I did was open my eyes. And I didn't go start having cold chills and looking around and seeing if there was a cloud or see if there was a halo. Right. No, I was the halo. The halo was inside of me.
Amen.
It was something they couldn't get. They couldn't get to me. You know why? Because I was sealed. You're sealed. That's why I'm telling you, sisters, brothers, when you're at home and you got a devil on your shoulder, back, coming at you, open your eyes. Look up. The Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Open your eyes and say, oh, God, I am a creature of light. I am not a creature of darkness. I've been made in your image. Everything we have is for a purpose. It'll either make you stronger or it'll make you weaker. Matthew 25, verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, what? Let me put it this way. They that were prepared went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. One more time. While they went to buy, talking about the foolish virgin, they went to buy oil. They don't have any oil. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. Everybody with me? Big prominent preacher in the message now is preaching that the foolish virgin has the Holy Ghost just like we do. If Selah was here, they're watching in tonight today. If Selah was here, what would I tell them? Read your Bible. Right. Your Bible tells you they didn't have no oil. Amen. And they that were ready went in with him. And the door was shut. Luke 12, verse 40. Be therefore ready also, or prepared, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Amen. Now, just a few minutes. Everybody all right? Amen. I got to where I started writing notes down. I try to remember them, but I think getting older, you write them down, and it makes you think a little bit more. So look. Every time God brings a message, he brings a messenger to prepare the people. One more time. Anytime God wants you to hear, now he can individually, he can speak to every one of you. I've done told you that. But those of us that preach have a little different gift that God can tell us several things, put it together, and we can give it to you, and then by the Holy Ghost you can say, oh, that's what I was thinking about. Oh, that puts that precious brother from Pakistan. I showed you some the other day. He sends me a WhatsApp. He says, God bless you, brother. How you doing, brother? You doing all right today, brother? And I'll just type back. I said, what question do you have? Because that's the next thing he's going to say. Because I'll say, I'm good. Then he'll say, oh, God bless you. How's the church doing? Church is doing good. You know, he said, well, how's this? Well, family's doing good. And then the other day he said, God bless you, brother. How you doing? The first thing I wrote, I said, what's the question? Of course, he asked me the question. And he can ask some good ones. But he wants to learn. He's a minister there in Pakistan. But you know what happened? There's a lot of people, sorry to say, from the United States goes over there and preaches all kind of garbage. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. The world doesn't know one thing about the Son of Man ministry. It does know nothing about the dispensations of God. Ask them. Jesus even asked Peter, and he didn't know what it was. He called him the Son of God. He didn't call him Son of Man. But each age prepared a people for the message to come. Okay, everybody with me? All right. Each age prepared a people for the message that was to come through one messenger. Remember, God said he uses one man. Everybody with me? That's for the Gentile dispensation, he uses one man. Now, when he goes to Israel, he uses two. He uses Moses and Elijah. But that's not Gentiles. That's Jews. All right, is everybody with me? So let's go through just for a few minutes. God prepared a Garden of Eden to put Adam and Eve in. Right. Amen. He prepared it himself. You'd think, man, this, and it was. It was a perfect environment. But God laid down some rules for them to go by to keep it that way. All right? If you do this and do that, you can eat this, you can do this, you can do that. Just don't do this. Okay? So I know that's do's and don'ts, but if you take the do's and don'ts right, you'll do a lot better. if it's given in grace for all of us, right? Noah prepared the earth for 120 years for it to rain. Think about that. He prepared, and the only people that heard him was his kids. And one of them was Ham, and he was a, you know, he was a tripper-upper when he got to the other side. All right? Moses. Now, Moses prepared a group of people. This is what I was thinking about this morning, because I wrote Moses down a couple of days ago. Moses, now watch, Moses was what? He was a messenger to his age. Right. All right? To call out a people out of Egypt that was there for 400 years. God told him for 400 years, and then he gave him 30 more years. That's grace. I love grace. Listen, grace is not for perfect people. Perfect people don't know what grace is, but they ain't a perfect person on the face of this earth. So everybody needs grace. So he gave them 430 years. He gave them grace to listen, but he had to send a messenger to bring them out. Right? Moses, listen now, Moses never prepared a group of people to spend 40 years in the wilderness. Think about that. And I want you to think about it just a minute. Let's think about this just a little bit ago. Because I was like, you know, Moses prepared. No, he didn't. He did not prepare them people to walk 40 years in that wilderness. In his thought, in his mind, he said, God, he said, you bring these people out with a mighty hand. You do this, you do that, you give the rod, you do this, and then you're going to bring the people out. And what did he tell them? Take them to the promised land. All right? Moses got the people ready. They left Egypt, and the people turned Moses down. Come on. Shake yourself a minute. They turned Moses down. And they walked 40 years under permissive will. Hello, somebody. Come on. Think about it now. Put it in the end time. He said, Brother Branham, to bring a people out and get them to the promised land. All God was, you poured into Christ, Christ into church, take her back to the Garden of Eden. Brother Branham has a part in that. We understand that, right? He's supposed to bring everything back, put everything back in shape to where we can just go. So while we've been here 60 years, we've been the same thing. We've been wandering in the wilderness, turning the message down. Yes, turning the message down. Come on. It's this and that and the other. Turn a message down. So we're living under permissive will of a deliverer. I want you to pay attention, because that's what happened. And then who got them prepared to go in? Okay? There had to be a change of administration for somebody else, another messenger, to another age, to take them into the promised land. Now, they ain't another messenger like Brother Branham. Right. Listen, folks, if you'll get it, Joshua was an extension of Moses. That's right. He didn't preach something different than Moses. He just, come on, somebody, I just got it. He just picked up the original message that Moses preached. That's right. And said, we are here, we are going over, and this is what we're going to do. Come on, somebody. That's our Joshua generation that we're in now. Amen. That's it. We go over and present. Moses said, God told him, said, you get them out, take them to the promised land. Right? Amen. Brother Branham, you get them out, you take them to the promised land. You preach the promised land to them. Right. But maybe little did he know that the right group hadn't showed up yet. Right. The right group hadn't been born yet. Because remember, all the old fighters, they all died in the wilderness. Amen? Amen? They all died and went away, but that young generation, As Brother David Gadman said the other day, he's a little bit younger than I am, but only a few months. He said, you know, we used to be part of that younger generation. But we're part of that Joshua group, though, that's going to possess that promised land. Amen. He never denied Moses. He never did anything. God had to tell them that Moses, thy servant, is dead. Okay? He didn't say Moses' message was dead. He said, Moses, thy servant, is gone. What are you going to do now? Are you going to sit here and murmur and complain again? All those murmurers are gone.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe Joshua maybe he did have a few tent meetings with the younger people. Maybe he had, Brother Aaron, he had some youth camps maybe. Right. Told them about a time when they came out and they was getting ready to go in, and that group said, no, we can't do it. We're like grasshoppers. We can't do this, can't do that. Remember, I preached a sermon many years ago before some of y'all even got here. It was called 10 Lying Preachers. That's what it was.
Amen.
There was 12 went over, okay?
Right.
And 10 of them lied.
Yep.
10 of them told a bald-faced lie. We can't take this. So what was different with Joshua and Caleb? Brother Brown said they, and the Bible even tells us, they had a different spirit. They had a spirit of overcoming. They had a spirit of going into the promised land. They had a spirit that I'm tired of this place. I'm tired of this wilderness of sin. Get me to where the milk and honey's at. I'll fight my way if I have to, but get me over there. Praise the Lord. That's what we're looking at, folks. Forget the wilderness. Remember, it's called the wilderness of sin. So Joshua prepared a group of people. He said, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to cross right here. He said, don't go in front of the priests. Let them go first. You know, he put all that. If you read, it's a preparation. Every time God sends a messenger, even the minor prophets, he'll say, okay, like Jeremiah, you do this. You're going to be in captivity, right? In the words of Jeremiah, you're going to be in captivity so much, and you're going to do this. Who read that? Daniel read it. Daniel read by books, the Bible says. You and I need to read by books that we're going out of here. Because that's what the message is for, is to get us out of here.
Right.
We might be rejected, but we're going to be ejected one day. John prepared a generation. They hated him. They cut his head off for preaching the gospel. He introduced the great Messiah, God in human flesh. Jesus, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus prepared for a group, because remember, I was thinking about this the other day. If God can't change, he can't change his program. All right? So when he came to earth, listen to me real quick. When he came to earth, he brought a program for them to take a body change.
That's right.
He come to his own received him not. Right? They rejected him. Once they rejected him, then he had to put it into the hands of a Gentile bride because he needed that bride to enter into the bride and then be what? Be his wife. So they rejected him right here. Right? Because remember, how are you going to get a body change? You're going to get a body change from Jesus Christ. And the message he preached, listen, this is all Jesus' message right here. He might not have been from Malachi back, but he was, because that's what built a body for him to step into. And then you start in the book of Acts, and he starts building the real body that he wanted to build to begin with, because it can't change.
Amen.
He cannot change. He has to be the unchangeable God. So when he came on the earth, he preached what we needed to take a body change. We just did not understand what he was talking about.
Right.
Corn of wheat must die, go in the ground, rot. If not, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings up what? More fruit. You know what? It brings up more Jesuses.
Yes. Right.
Little Messiahs, you and I. The apostles, the great apostle Paul. Then you got Irenaeus, Martin, the different messengers. they came and brought a message to get a people ready to receive the next message. Because God is in continuity, right? You know, you look at the Dark Ages, and you look at Columba, and Brother Brown, you know, said that guy said, well, God's a, like, in other words, God's like a sadist. He just sat there with his arms folded and watched them kill the Jews and watched them kill this. Brother Brown said, little did that man know that was the tender hand of Jehovah. See what we think? Brother Dale told us many years ago, he said he always wondered why God said in the Old Testament to kill all the Amalekites, kill them down to the babies. Amen. Oh, God's a baby killer. No, God's a baby saver. Amen. He saved their soul from hell because if they'd have grown up and went to the age of accountability, they'd have been an Amalekite. Right. And God would have sent them to hell.
Right.
But he can't send them to hell if there's not somebody, something there to send them for. So praise God. There's gonna be a whole lot of them babies. I was thinking about it the other day. Sometimes my mind wanders, and sometimes it comes back, sometimes it don't. But when it gets out there, Joyce, sometimes it walks on its way back. But I thought, how many babies under the age of 12 or the age of accountability are we gonna see in heaven? Billions. Billions of people that were young kids that didn't know nothing about God, as innocent as they could be, but they're going to be in heaven. And they're not going to be babies.
Right.
What a mighty God we serve.
Yes.
What a mighty God to set up this plan that's perfect. And I love what Brother Branham said a couple of times. I saw it the other day. It brought back to my memory a child that's got the eyes and
Down syndrome.
We used to call them mongoloid, but it's Down syndrome. And you know what? Brother Ryan said, you know, God give them a special angel. And they're not going to give account of what they did because of the way that mom and daddy got together, split the gene split, and this happened. Then one time Brother Ryan was talking, he said, he brought somebody up to the platform, and something was going on. He said, oh, that's genetics. Or, oh, that came from your mom and daddy. Oh, that came from your grandfather, your grandmother. Thank God for a prophet.
Amen.
That he could see those things, and we can look and see all these great truths that people write books about. What's going to happen to babies? What's going to happen to this? What's going to happen to these people? Listen, even Brother Ram covers the Africans that never heard Jesus Christ at all.
Yes.
About the Indians that worship the higher power.
Yes.
He said they'll be judged by how they took their religion or their tribe or whatever it was. That's how they're going to be judged. God's not going to just kick them out because they never heard of Jesus Christ. There's going to be billions of people who never heard of Jesus Christ be given eternal life. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. And I don't want nobody to do like I used to do. I used to try to figure out how we're going to put them all on earth. I didn't build it. I didn't make it for them to live on. God did.
Amen.
That ark was made exactly for 8 people and animals from the beginning. He didn't start build a little boat and say, oh, people are getting it. I'm going to build a bigger one. Oh, there's going to be hundreds now. He built for 120 years. He built an ark for 8 people.
Amen.
And animals. Because he knew what was going to happen at the end.
Right.
So the messengers of all the ages have prepared their people, but never prepared them like you and I are being prepared today. No one has got the opening of these seals. And I want you to understand that there's going to be a natural part. We'll read it right here. There's going to be a natural part of the seal. The seal's going to open. There's going to be an antichrist. There's going to be a spirit. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be all these things, which is the natural part. But you and I have got to get the spiritual part.
Right.
All right? We've got to understand. Listen, there's nobody. The word iniquity is in the Bible several times. a bunch of times, right? All the way from the beginning to the end. Go ask somebody on the street, say, what's iniquity? Where's my phone? That's what they'll say. Where's my phone? I'll Google it. We know what it is. Because Paul told us it was a mystery of iniquity, that only a certain group of people are going to be able to hear it, know it, and see it.
Right.
And listen to me, do something about it.
Amen.
Do something about it, because we've been prepared to do it. These seals identify us with Christ, not the devil.
Amen. That's right.
Now, it shows who he is, shows where he's at, shows what he's doing. Listen, he even shows it who he's doing it through.
Right.
I was listening to, or reading that from Brother Dale, the first seal, second part. He said, you know, most denominations, except the Catholic Church, believe the Catholic Church is a mother whore. But they don't see that they're the daughters. Right? I just said that comical, but they don't. So they don't know anything about that. Oh, that's this man of sin, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. They don't know that they're in that system, their own self. That's why it's a mystery. That's why Satan has covered it up so well under religion until there's millions of people going to hell because of that. So when we start into these seals, I want you to look at two things. All right, and we'll close. Magicians, come on. We're talking about the third Exodus. Now, what does the third Exodus do? Out of the natural, out of the spiritual, and the spiritual, out of the spiritual. Are y'all with me? Brother Brown said, out of the true seed will come one. There's two spirits in the framework of the church. The three see the spiritual out of the church, rather. Then we get the three stages of it.
Right.
Two things, all right? Number one, let's stand. Number one, the seals is not talking about your soul. If you are born again, that's, you didn't need to unseal the book to see that you need to be born again. All right? And remember, as I said just a minute ago, the seals identify us with Christ. Okay? The seals will identify us with Christ, and it will not be for your soul redemption. If you're born again. Now listen, if you're not born again, let's start justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, you don't need to come to the altar. You need to just say, God, I want you in my heart, and I want to what? I want to be different than what I am now.
Amen.
I want to receive you in my heart, but I don't want just receive you in my heart. I want you to take over my soul.
Right?
Like I said before, a lot of people in denominations, they love Jesus Christ. They speak of him all the time.
Right.
But do they ever want him to be their Lord? No, they do not want him to be their Lord.
Right.
They want to be associated with. Remember, Brother Brown talked to us about that. He said, being associated with it don't make you a part of it.
Amen.
In other words, being around it is like Dathan and Korah and all them other ones that died. They were included in the message of the hour.
Yep.
Moses' message. Remember, he was a messenger. He had a message to bring. Well, those that were in Moses' message, they heard what Moses said.
Right.
But Dathan and Korah, obviously, they weren't of God. So they're a demon the whole time. They coming out, the mixed multitudes coming out with them and intermingled with them. But there had to be one day where Moses said, all right, God said, I'm fixing to take them all out. Moses said, okay, hang on a minute. He said, God, he said, don't destroy them all. He said, you have to take me. But what did he do when he was standing, when he come down from the mountain? He said, Dathan and Korah, you got your group. You go over that way. My group come over here. That's pretty awful, folks.
Right.
that what happened to Dathan and Korah. Family, children, animals, all their possessions. Because they chose the wrong message. They heard the messenger. They got their own idea about the message and the messenger. Right? So what did God do? He said, oh, that's okay. We'll deal with it later. It's all right. No. What happened? The earth opened up. They all fell down in that thing, and they smashed, the earth smashed them all together and killed them, everyone. Because they had the messenger in front of them, but they didn't take the message. They wanted their own idea, their own message. Moses, and it did sound pretty good. Moses, you take so much on yourself. Just give a little bit of that over here. Well, Moses and God knew the Spirit, what was on them. And he said, no, if you're for me, come over here. If you're for them, stay over there. And they died. The whole group was swallowed up in the earth. Let's not do that. Let's be that group of people that knows that we're standing looking. Now, see, our promised land is the new birth, right? But now remember, our promise in the end time is not just a new birth. Our promise in the end time is to change that back to the Garden of Eden. Because remember, it was milk and honey, but they fought, they died, they struggled. Right? That's not us. Our promised land is turn it back to the Garden of Eden. When we walk into that land and possess it, it all comes back to new again. It all comes back to where animals don't eat each other. It all comes back to where we don't have a carnal mind, where we don't have this going on and that going on. You say, oh, you can't do that. You better start.
Yes.
You better get a piece of heaven, because you ain't going if you ain't got a piece here.
Amen. Right.
We must be possessors now,
amen,
not later. Amen?
Amen?
Let's sing a song. Remember, this is for us.
I am weak, but God strong.
His message has never been, not what I'm preaching, the message we are getting now is a message that Jesus wanted them to see 2,000 years ago. But there was too much scruples involved. There was too much loose ends involved. That's not here today, folks. We have the true interpretation, divine vindication of this message of the hour, knowing what the Bible says, knowing what the prophet was talking about.
And just a closer walk with thee.
What Brother Ram say? Get back up. Get back up and take off. Get back up and go. That's a true believer. A true believer is not somebody that never falls. Come on, somebody. We have our burdens and problems. We have our faults. But we rise up out of that and start anew. Your desire. Oh, granted, Jesus is my plea. And daily walking close to thee. That's your prayer.
Feeble life is low. safely
where? A place that's been prepared.
To thy kingdom shore. To thy shore.
Sing it to him. Let it be your desire today.
And just a closer walk with thee.
Is
my plea.
Yes, Lord, amen.
Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen. Is that your desire? Just a closer walk with thee.
Amen.
My, why would we walk close? Why would we want to walk closer to the world? There's something got to be inside of us. There's that spiritual rudder I was telling you about a long time ago. That's the Holy Ghost. Okay, the boat is you. But you got to have that little bitty spiritual rudder inside you that tells you that's right or that's wrong. That's right or that's wrong. You need to go in that direction. Move that little rudder. It'll move that whole ship. I'm expecting this year for God to move all of our ship in the right direction.
Amen.
Whether we falter, I don't care. Whether we fall, get back up.
Amen.
Whether we think we're insignificant, you are the manifestation of God for your day. Period. And God saw it. This is what I get right here. Listen. He may see you with your faults and failures. But Brother Branham said, he said, all he hears is your voice. Remember? He said, there's that red blood around the earth, and he said, your voice goes up through it, hits that blood. Because remember, Brother Branham said, if God saw us for 1 second in the state we're in right now, he'd have to kill us because we're all born wrong. We're all contrary to the way God wants us to be. That's why he get that Genesis 1:26, man. He held on to it until he come to the day of Pentecost, and he said, there's 120, there's 3,000, there's all the ones through the church ages. I'm letting myself out. I'm piece by piece. I'm not getting any weaker. I'm getting stronger. Piece by piece. These are the children I want.
Amen.
You got to believe that you're the one of them. Even in the faults and failures, even in the ups and downs, you've got to come out of this thing and say, I am a son and daughter of God. But now listen, one thing extra, we got to act like it. Okay? We got to act like it. Can't just believe in this message today is not going to get it. It did not take the people to the promised land when Moses had a message. Listen, that was a powerful message Moses preached. Signs and wonders. All of them that came out died. So they really didn't believe it, even though they were signed. Listen, how could you get a group of people to be standing at the Red Sea? They just saw a nation totally destroyed. I mean, they didn't have nothing green. They didn't have a river to get anything out of. That nation was totally destroyed. And they still come up to the Red Sea and they see the Egyptians coming and they start crying. Even Moses started crying. Because remember, Brother Brown preached that sermon, why cry, speak. Moses, why cry, speak. Bad situation. Had water on this side. The people that was trying to kill you on this side. Where are you going? Moses, just pick up your staff. Hit the water. He said, let me do the rest. I'll keep them. I'll take that pillar of fire and I'll whirl it behind you until you get across on dry ground. And then he said, I'm going to show you. But you know what? Once they got on the other side, they had a hallelujah Pentecostal meeting. About 2 or 3 weeks later, they were loathing that white bread. They were We want to go back. What they'd had to done was they'd had to went back to the Red Sea, swam across the Red Sea, where they walked across, swam across the Red Sea, went back to Pharaoh, or what was left of him, knock on the door and say, hey, we want back in. That's what they said. We'd rather, why did you bring us from our leeks and garlics? Why did you bring us? Listen, I don't want us ever. If you're wondering why you're wanting to be pulled back in the world, it's because you need the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost actually, he is the one that led them through the wilderness. Come on now, the Holy Ghost led them through the wilderness. But they turned down the message of the hour. Being in it, went to church every day, got fed. They every once in a while, they might have liked old Moses, but most of the time they didn't. But he told them the truth. But now we have a Joshua, folks. And that Joshua stood there and said, we're taking that land. Caleb said, I may be twice the age I was before, but I'm more than able to take my portion. Let's be that way, to be more than able to take our portion. Amen. Will you do that for me? Say, God, I am the one you've been looking at since the foundation of the world. I am the one, not that tomorrow you get sick and go, well, I ain't the one. Remember, God can't change his mind. Realize you are it. There's no other generation past this one. We cannot go on. We've had too much. We got a pope sitting here from the United States. We got a president that's doing things president's ever done. Why? He's getting this thing ready to put them back together again. Church and state's going to go back together again. And the beast and the little lamb is going to rule the world. And guess what's going to happen? That's when the squeeze comes, and that's when we're going to be ejected out of here. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for bringing us together, Lord, on this blustery winter day, Lord, cold and ice and snow around, Lord. I pray that you would give each one a supernatural blessing today for just coming. Lord, bless the ones that didn't make it, Lord, that's watching in, Father. I pray that you'd just, Lord, just sink it down in their heart that they're part of this too, Lord. And that we're looking at a day, Father, that we're coming to, Lord, that we're going to stand and we're going to take a body change and we're going to be able to say, it is finished. I come from God. I'm going back to God. We just picked up a human body down here, Lord, that you told us through the prophet that you wanted to be a savior, so there was nothing to save. So you let us get lost. You wanted to be a healer, Father, but there's nothing sick. So you allowed that to happen, Lord, so that we can look to you, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith, the one that we look to. Lord, sometimes in our faults and failures, we need to just stop one day and just look up and say, God, I'm your child. Help me through this. Help me through these trials and tribulations that we're having, these rough spots. As I call them, this season, sometimes we have a season of problems. And sometimes we think, Lord, that you're not anywhere around, but Lord, you're right there with us because your hand is on your little bride everywhere she goes and everything that we do. But Lord, we give you the praise and honor and glory for it. Thank you again, Lord. Be with us on the highway as we return home. Be with Brother Aaron on Wednesday night, Lord, as he brings the words to us, Lord, and then continuing on through the year, Father. I pray that this year will be a wonderful year, Father, that we'll hear more from you than we've ever heard before. And Lord, that things will happen, Lord, that's never happened before, Father. I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Dear Lord, let it be. And just a closer walk with me. Granted, Jesus is my plea.